But she keep doing it, and they live through up on that little word. My friends, the Church of Jesus Christ had subsisted on elementary diet for a long time. After the church came out from the dark ages, they subsisted on the diet of justification by faith. Later on, they learned about other truths like sanctification. And then when the Pentecostal move came into this part of the world, we are all excited. The Pentecostal move that started in Azusa Street, and it came over to this part of the world. Oh, we were all excited, you know, speaking in tongues. Oh, hallelujah, now I have spoken in tongues. Now we have to tell them, hey brother, that's Acts 1 and 2. They thought speaking in tongues was Acts 28. That's just the beginning. And why, how fresh the charismatic move was like. It was like a breath of fresh air. But do you know a breath of fresh air received into your house, close it all up after a long time, stale air. And after about 10 years of speaking in tongues, you say, is there any more? Lord, there is a lot more. Yes, the church has subsisted on so little. But now is the time, and God wants to restore the church. You see, Elijah talks about restoration. You study, you can see a lot of patterns of the church in his acts that he brought forth. And in verse 16, the bean was, the flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil ran dry. Do you know what the oil represents? Holy Spirit. The Word and the Spirit, whatever little you have, take it, use it. Don't wait, don't let it sit in your shelf. Whatever you have in God, use it. Whatever God is saying to you, if you have one tiny little gift to work, work it. Whatever all you have, use it. Because if you don't use it, you may die. You may die. But when you use it, the miracle begins. Do you know the miracle only begins when you take it and you use it? You could be waiting, looking. Why don't it multiply? Hiya, why never multiply one? Why always? Elijah, you say it will multiply, never look, always the same. Oh, Elijah would tell you, daughter, it's going to remain the same according to your eyes. But if you use it, it's not going to be the same. Your eyes don't see the change and the miracle. But when you eat it, you know it's a miracle because I just took it from there. See, the miracle is not that little suddenly multiplies. And suddenly you fill half the house. Oh, they got enough to eat for the rest of the days. No, it always remains in that little jar, that little. And every time the woman takes, she has to exercise faith. Oh, I wonder whether this is going to be the last drop today. And she pour it. Oh dear, this is the last one. Hey, see God. The next day, she still has that one little drop there. Pour it. Hey, see God. After about a few weeks of doubting, she got used to it. No, he's never going to finish. See? Special. Oh, hallelujah. She learns. She began to learn. That's what the church learns. To move in the Spirit and to move in the Word. Whatever little you have, do it now. Whatever you know about healing, use the knowledge that you have in God. And it will multiply. It will multiply. And then it will move to the second phase of revival. See, Elijah talks about different phase of revival. Second phase is 1 Kings 18. Elijah went to Mount Carmel to repair the altar. Now, these are the five things that will happen in the second phase of revival. Five phases. The first phase, you must take what you have and use it. If you have one gift, use it. If all you have is the laying on of hands, go and minister wherever you can. Pray, be bold. If all you can do is teach a small Bible group, do it. That's the first phase of revival. You must be faithful at that because it's the drought. You cannot see yet. Your eyes cannot see the revival yet. But it's already begun. Why? Because Elijah is already there. Elijah represents the wind of revival that is already swept in. To bring in one of the most awesome revivals that God has. 1 Kings 18, five things that Elijah did to bring that revival. In verse 30, Number one, he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been broken down. So, in the second phase of revival, this revival we're going to see that God's going to bring in this last day is going to be in several phases. The second phase that we're going to see, now we are seeing the phase of the oil and the flour. A little bit here, a little bit there. A little bit here, a little bit there. You know, we hear one ministry there, one ministry here, then one fall down there, then here got another one coming out. Here, there, here, there, here, there, here, there. But we don't. We see a little bit here, a little bit there. You know, one in China, there, one in the North Pole, one South Pole, one Antarctica, you know, all over the place. But we don't see a massive revival yet. Because the massive one is coming after these five things take place. Number one, the altar of the Lord is repaired. Now this second, what you're going to see in that first phase is individual moves. Then you're going to see in the second phase corporate move. Because number one, the altar of the Lord is repaired. That talks about the restoration of the people of God to God's covenant. And that includes to each other. The body of Christ is going to tear down walls that they build against each other and build bridges to one another. Because remember, when we get into covenant with God, we need to get into covenant with each other. Because we are all brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we begin to restore that covenant. We repair the altar of the Lord for God to work. Number two, second thing that Elijah did, 1 Kings 18, is he took, in verse 31, 12 stones. You know what stones represent in the Bible? The church. We are His living stones. So there's going to be a gathering of believers from all, every place and every nation. Without that, you cannot have the second move. See, the second phase of the revival has five sub-waves. You have the stones coming together. Then you have number three. In verse 33, he put the wood in order. The wood represents the cross. When we all start gathering, we are all going to have a fresh revelation of the cross of Jesus Christ. We're going to have a fresh vision of Jesus, of His death and of His resurrection. But Jesus is going to reveal Himself in a fresh new way to the church. The wood. Number four. Verse 33. Fill four water pots with water. Number four is water. So you have repair, you have stones, you have wood, now you have water. The water represents the Word. And look at how much word they have. He says, fill it three times. A second time they did it, and then do it a third time, he says in verse 34, 35, until the water was all around the altar. And it drenched the wood. It drenched everything. You know what the water represents? The knowledge of the Lord. Before you can have His knowledge, you must see Him. See, after the revelation of the wood, comes the revelation of the water. That is where the knowledge of the Word comes. Instead of subsisting on a little flour and a little oil, it's going to be a revival of the Word. And this is what I sense in my spirit. The revival, the Word revival that we saw that has taken place was the first wave. We are in a second wave. Now there's going to be a third wave coming. We are now in the second wave of the Word revival. There is a third wave coming up, which will be the final wave before the restoration. See, there are three times it happened. There are three waves of the Word revival. We are in the second wave. The first wave was a pure Word. The second wave was a Word and is a Word and a Spirit. There's a third one coming after that. That will be closest to the last mini wave. After the water, revival of the Word, comes the next one, number five. The fire.
Do you notice the fire is not for the world? The fire is for the church. When the fire comes on the altar, it burns everything. That is the revival of God that's began. That fire represents that final and last revival that God brings. That burn up everything, consume everything. And that fire doesn't come on the world. You see, Acts chapter 2, the Spirit didn't come on the world. It came on the believers. Through them, they ministered to the world. That fire is not meant for the world. It's meant for believers. The fire will come. That's the last great wave. And when that fire has come, then Elijah went to the world. That's Ahab. And said, Ahab, get on your chariot now because the rain is coming. Rain always represents the revival that affects the entire world. Have you ever studied revivals before? You always talk about the rain coming on the just and the unjust. So when the rains come, it means that the revival is going to pour forth so abundantly that when you walk into a country or nation or city like Chalzi Fine, you're going to feel God's power there. That is when the rain comes. When the fire comes, when you walk into the church, you feel it. But when the rain comes, you walk into any place that is under that spear of revival, you feel it. That's when the rain comes. Everywhere, whether people know God or don't know God, when it's time for the rain, even the unbelievers will feel God's presence. Just like Charles D. Finney time. When Finney goes to a certain town, just anybody entering that city gets under conviction. That's the rain. That's the final revival that Elijah came to bring. And that represents the church that God's going to do in these last days. And chapter 19, as we close forth, is the last phase that Elijah went through, which should encourage us here. Is chapter 19, number 1, after he did all those great things, he neglected these areas. In number 1, he began to move into fear. He was afraid of Jezebel, and he ran from her, in verse 2 and 3. So never allow fear, whether natural or soul, to come into your life. Fear will make you move in the wrong direction. So fear came, and he started to drop. Second thing that happened was that caused him to fall and drop rather than fall, because a slight turn back, was in verse 4. He was very, very tired. Do not allow your physical body to open the door for you. Do you know that the devil will make use of natural things if you're not watchful? The spiritual man knows how to balance the needs of his body and doesn't overpush him. The devil came to Jesus in Matthew 4 and Luke 4 when Jesus was tired. So watch your physical open doors. Tiredness, just like Epaphroditus, will push himself too far. You could push yourself so far. Remember, you are not the hero. Jesus is the only hero.